How is it March already? Welcome back to the show. This is what I've got coming up for you today. I'm going to give you a list of marketing jobs that you'd be mad to do yourself. How the AI revolution creates a marketing opportunity, not the one you think. And my special guest today is going to reveal how much it costs the average MSP to win a new client. You will be horrified at the figure. Welcome to episode 329.
Powered by MSPMarketingEdge.com. Paul Green's MSP Marketing Podcast.
You'd be mad to do all of your MSP's marketing yourself. And if that sentence annoys you a little, there's a good chance that you're exactly the person who needs to hear it. Because most MSP owners are drowning in marketing tasks, telling themselves they're saving money or keeping control, when in reality they're burning the one resource they can never replace, their time. Right now, I want to talk about which marketing jobs you absolutely should outsource, which ones you must keep ownership of, and how to focus your limited time on the activities that deliver the biggest return. So let's talk about time, because for MSP owners and managers, time is the real bottleneck. You don't have a lack of ideas, you don't have a lack of tools, you don't even have a lack of willingness. What you have is too many things competing for your attention, and marketing is often the thing that's squeezed into the cracks between the tickets, the meetings, and the client fires. So the goal of marketing isn't for you to do more, it's for you to do less of the wrong things and more of the right things. And here's the core principle that I want you to adopt. You should outsource anything that someone else could be trained to do well, and you should keep ownership of anything that requires judgment, direction, and deep understanding of your business. Most MSPs get this completely backwards. They cling very tightly to low-value tasks and then outsource high-level thinking, which is absolute madness, right? So let's start with what you should almost always outsource. Anything repetitive, anything admin-heavy, anything that's process-driven. So things like loading social media posts, scheduling blogs, uploading videos, formatting newsletters, whether that's email or print, making LinkedIn connection requests, cleaning lists, basic CRM updates, repurposing content, chasing webinar registrations, creating transcripts, and pulling simple reports. None of those tasks that I was just mentioning require you. They just require instructions. They require an SOP. If someone can be trained to do it once, they can be trained to do it again and again and again. And every hour you spend doing those things is an hour you're not spending on strategy, leadership, relationships, or growth. Now, let's talk about what you absolutely should not outsource. You should never outsource ownership of your marketing direction. You should never outsource deciding who you're targeting, what you stand for, what message you want to be known for, or what success looks like. You shouldn't outsource thinking. You shouldn't outsource big, high-level decision-making. And you definitely should not outsource responsibility. Strategy for your marketing lives with you. Direction lives with you. And accountability lives with you. Even if you have a marketing agency, a virtual assistant, a marketing assistant, or even if you have a content team, they should be executing your thinking and not replacing it. Because trust me on this, no one else in the entire world understands your MSP, your clients, your ambition, your risk tolerance the way that you do. And many MSPs say, oh, I haven't got time for marketing. And what they really mean is, I don't have time to do admin marketing tasks. But the high ROI marketing doesn't look like admin. It looks like deciding where you want to focus. It means deciding and choosing the story you want to tell, reviewing performance and adjusting direction. It means recording short videos, writing rough outlines, approving content, shaping campaigns. All of that stuff is founder-level work. I'm a founder. I'm not doing the marketing tasks of editing my podcast or my YouTube videos or putting my blogs onto the website or LinkedIn newsletters. I shape all of that content, and I do actually still write it myself because I'm a writer at heart, but I don't do the little tasks of actually loading it. I have a much better member of my team who does that for me, so I don't have to do it. She does a much better job than I would do as well. And all of this doesn't take hours a day. You just need a little bit of focus to decide what you're doing and what you're not doing, and then train other people to do the rest of it for you. Understand this, the smartest MSP owners design their marketing so that they personally spend the smallest amount of time possible on the activities that create the biggest impact. They think, decide, approve, and guide, and other people build, load, schedule, and repeat. If you try to do everything yourself, marketing becomes a burden. If you outsource everything, marketing loses its soul. So the sweet spot is owning the brain and delegating the hands. I like that phrase. The MSPs who grow consistently aren't the ones that are trying to do every marketing task themselves. The ones that grow the fastest are the ones who protect their time, take ownership of the thinking, the direction of the decisions, and they let other people handle the mechanics. And that is not laziness, and it's not losing control. That is leadership.
Paul Green's MSP Marketing Podcast.
If marketing seems like a dark art to you and you have no idea where to start, you are not alone. Many MSPs feel this way. And that's why I wrote my book, MSP Marketing Start Here. It's just a 45-minute read or listen, and it explains marketing in a way that you've never heard it explained before. My goal with this book is to make marketing so easy for you that you know exactly where to start and you're really, really motivated to take action. So you can get it on Kindle and also on paperback, both of those from Amazon, and it's also on Audible. Or you can find out more at mspmarketingedge.com/books. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, just scan the QR code on screen. AI is changing the way that MSPs do their marketing forever, but not in the way most people think. This isn't a story about tools, prompts, or automations. It's about why the rise of AI might actually make being more human your biggest competitive advantage. Cast your mind back for a moment to the year 2008. That was the year the first Iron Man film came out, which still feels impossible to me. In fact, to put that in context, someone who was born that year is now 17 or 18, which is nuts, right? Anyway, imagine if back then I'd said to you, hey, in the near future, there's going to be some technology that can write your marketing for you. It can generate images, analyze your marketplace, plan campaigns, basically do almost anything you can think of. And it'll cost you about $20 a month. So you'd have thought I was mad, or you'd have been bouncing off the walls with excitement. Probably both. And of course, that future is now. There's an AI tool for almost anything, isn't there? Writing, images, research, analysis, videos, strategy, ideas, and yes, of course, it's changed the game. But not in the way that most MSPs think it has. Because here's what I really believe. The start of the AI revolution is also the start of a new content marketing revolution. For years, content marketing was dominated by the people who could produce the most content the old-fashioned way, using humans. You either wrote it yourself or you paid someone else to do it. Output was the advantage. But now anyone, regardless of writing ability, can churn out hundreds of blog posts, emails, and social posts a day at the push of a button. There's already too much content online back then, and now there's 10 times more, maybe 100 times more, maybe 1,000 times more. And we're barely at day one of our journey with AI. So does that mean that content marketing is dead? Oh no, no way at all, not even close. But I do think there's a big shift happening because when information becomes infinite, it stops being valuable. When people are overwhelmed with answers, the brain gives up trying to analyze them all and just hands the decision over to the heart. And the heart doesn't look for more information. It looks for someone it trusts, someone it likes, someone it believes understands them. In other words, as information becomes commoditized, personality becomes the differentiator. I think people are going to stop seeking information from content and start seeking wisdom from people. And that's the real marketing opportunity for you and your MSP, to put your authentic personality at the center of everything you do, to be more human at exactly the same time that your competitors are flooding the internet with AI-generated slop. Because as long as humans are making buying decisions and in managed services, that is going to be for a long time yet. Trust, familiarity, and personality will matter more than ever. And this doesn't mean that you shouldn't use AI. I mean, quite the opposite. AI is an incredible amplifier. It's a great assistant if you use it in the right way. You can train a GPT on you, your knowledge, your experience, your opinions, your tone, your sense of humor. You can ask AI to repurpose your content in your voice. As long as you prompt it well, review it properly, and correct it. You can ask AI to interview you in depth to pull ideas and insights out of your head. You can even use AI to generate images and visuals that feature you in different situations. So I like to think of this as the Iron Man approach to marketing. If you imagine Iron Man versus the Terminator. So the Terminator is an agent. It has a mission and it executes that mission with no further input. It's efficient, but soulless. Whereas Iron Man, on the other hand, is Tony Stark, a very human personality, surrounded by AI tools like Jarvis and Friday that enhance him, support him, and make him more effective without replacing who he actually is. Two very different approaches using AI, and I know exactly which one I would back. It's the Tony Stark one, the Iron Man one. The MSPs who win over the next few years won't be the ones who automate themselves out of authenticity. They'll be the ones who stay human, stay visible, and use AI to amplify what already makes them distinctive.
Paul Green's MSP Marketing Podcast.
Have you ever actually sat down and worked out how much it really costs your MSP to win a brand new client? Not what you think it costs, but the true figure once you account for time, effort, marketing, sales, and wasted opportunities. Most MSPs massively underestimate this. And my guest today doesn't guess at this number. He measures it, he sees it across the channel, and he understands exactly what the average MSP is spending to land a single new customer. And I'm going to warn you now, when you hear the real figure, it's going to change how you think about marketing and growth.
Hi, I'm Sean Walsh, and I am the CEO of Encore Strategic.
And thanks so much for being here on the podcast, Sean. You and I met very briefly at ScaleCon at the back end of last year in New Orleans, and we had like literally a five-minute conversation. I could barely get to your booth. You were surrounded, mobbed by MSPs, which was an amazing thing to see at such a great conference. But it's great to have you on the podcast now. And we're going to talk today about a subject that's, well, you and I agree is so difficult for most MSPs to get their heads around, and that is how much does it actually cost you to win a brand new client? We're going to explore that today, and I know you've got some advice on figuring that out and, of course, trying to adjust that price as well, because it is often a scary figure when MSPs figure it out. Let's first of all just have a look at you. So tell us about you, Sean. What do you do with MSPs right now, and what's your kind of background?
Yeah, so what we do is we do peer groups for MSP owners. We also do COO and service manager groups, and then we also do direct consulting and coaching with MSPs to help them increase profitability, grow market share, and prepare for exit.
And how did you get into doing this? How long have you been doing it for?
So I ran an MSP for many years, and I am the stereotypical started it up in a spare bedroom in the house, you know, grew to the basement, and then out to an office, and we grew it to locations in four states in the U.S., and then we were acquired by a $350 million services company and private equity backed, and they bought the company, and you know, I just wasn't good at being retired, so too much stuff going on in my head. And I have always had a passion for teaching. I've taught college, I've taught high school, I work as a dive instructor, as a scuba instructor, as a side hustle. So I love teaching and I love sharing.
That's really cool. I want to do scuba. That's one of my kind of semi-retirement plans, because like you, I never intend to retire. So yeah, whereabouts are you based in the States?
I am actually here in Aruba right now, where we have an office where we run our peer groups out of Aruba occasionally. And it's a nice, beautiful ocean here. And so anytime you want to come to Aruba and be a guest speaker, we can take you out and get you scuba.
Amazing. Certified. Right. I mean, my people will talk to your people. We'll make that happen. That sounds really cool. So one of the things before we get on to talking about the cost of acquisition, the cost of acquiring a client, I would imagine, and I don't do coaching, so I work closely with MSPs, but it's always very much on practical things of improving their marketing and their websites and putting in place a lead generation system. But often the conversations, I notice how much, and you know, I've been doing this for just 10 years with MSPs, but 20 years overall. So like you, I've probably noticed how much MSPs hold themselves back through overthinking things, through emotional things, through worry, through fear. Do you see that? Because you're working with them on the all of their business, and obviously you've been there and you've done that, and you've come through the other side and had the successful exit. Do you see that a lot? And is that a lot of the work that you do, working on the kind of the mindset and the emotional stuff?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we're taking people who are great engineers, but as many of us who come from the engineering background of things, you know, we can sometimes hyperfixate on some of those details and not often the right ones. And looking at the business more holistically is really one of the things, the key things that we kind of focus on in our coaching and consulting and in our peer groups, and making sure that they're not just working on one leg of the stool, to take an old analogy, you know, but we have to work on the business holistically, and we have to balance out all the aspects of it. And one of the areas is, as you well know, that MSPs suffer in paying attention to is the sales and marketing side. And it's the one we struggle with the most. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, technology is black and white. It's easy. You tell a computer to do something, it does exactly what you tell it to do. You know, sales is not like that. Sales is very fuzzy, and sometimes people aren't comfortable in that. But, you know, you really have to get comfortable being uncomfortable, because if you're going to scale your company, you have got to be able to build a sales and marketing team. Because in except for some very rare exceptions, owner-led sales is just not going to get you to that big payday on when you want to exit.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I completely agree as well that it's the most difficult thing. It's so far away from the technical skill set. But that's why I've dedicated my, you know, what is left of my working career. I say that I'm only 51, but you know, I intend to spend the rest of my working career continuing to make marketing easy for MSPs for exactly that reason, because it's the big difficult missing piece in most MSPs businesses. They've got the operations, the customer service, everything is there, except they just don't know how to win clients. And that leads very nicely into our core subject, which is the cost of acquiring a client. So I know that MSPs, the vast majority of MSPs, haven't a clue. Not a clue. I suspect that you have exactly the same experience. And when you ask MSPs to estimate how much they think they've spent to acquire a client, do you often find that they're coming in way under what they've actually spent?
They're not even able to come up with it. They really, in most cases, the MSPs really don't think about what they're spending on trying to get sales out. And, you know, one of the biggest things MSPs suffer from is what I refer to as random acts of marketing. They go, they spend a bunch of money on one thing. It doesn't work. They say, oh, the heck with it. They don't do it anymore for a while. And then they go do something else again. And, you know, it's that we need that consistency on the sales and marketing. I mean, it's a numbers game, and it's about consistent efforts. And they don't really do that. And then because of the fact they're not doing it regularly, they're not really budgeting for things. But one of the things that we do is we make them break down a budget, a very detailed budget. So now all of a sudden we're getting to see, hey, wait a second, there's a lot of highs and lows here. We need to smooth this out. And then we start calculating it. And in our peer groups, we do a lot of financial accountability. And we finally decided we really needed to not only track the typical financial numbers that most MSPs track, like your service gross margin, your EBITDA, things like that. But we started tracking, how many leads are you getting in? What do those leads cost? How many of those leads go to a first meeting? How many first meetings go to proposal? How many proposals go to close? And what about the salaries of the people who are doing that work? What does that cost you? And whatever marketing you're doing. And we realize it's a very significant amount of money. And honestly, I hadn't really given it much thought since I had sold my company. And I saw an article, and it had the data in it, and it said that the average cost of an MSP client was $32,000 US. And most people, so one of my questions is, how much do you think it costs you to get a new client? And I checked the data, and it was solid. And, you know, and I think the range I'm seeing right now is about $28,000 to $32,000 to get a new client. And people have no idea that it's that high.
And take that client at 28 to 32, what kind of lifetime revenue would you expect from a client like that?
Right. And that's one of the other things we're calculating now, is what's the lifetime value of the client. And it's typically 3 to 5 years. In some cases, if you're really good, you might get longer, but that's the average. 3 to 5 is what you're going to get. So, I mean, that's a pretty heavy cost, and especially if you want to be bringing on about 2 new clients a month, which is what most MSPs are shooting for, you know, so that's $64,000 a month in client acquisition costs. That's a salary every month. Mm. So, you better make sure you're doing it correctly. And you better make sure, just like all our other numbers, you know, we spend so much time monitoring service metrics, and let's bring down our average time per endpoint. Hey, our average time per endpoint went from 40 minutes to 32 minutes. Yay. But nobody's going, hey, we got our client acquisition cost down from $32,000 a client down to, you know, $24,000. Yay. So we really need to be monitoring that. And the thing that I'm seeing is that as we're monitoring this with our coaching clients and our peer groups now, people are taking it a lot more seriously than they did before. Before it was kind of like, oh, sales, that's not me. I'm going to push that aside. Now they're like, hey, wait a second. This is costing me real money and I want to grow my company. So let's pay attention to this. So that's a good thing. You know, obviously, people paying more attention to where their money's going and their efforts, you know, that's good stuff. And you really, but you need to dial that in. One of the things that we did with some of our groups recently is we had everybody read Alex Hormozi's book, $100 Million Leads. And I really like that book because it breaks, he does a great job of breaking this whole concept of client acquisition cost and lifetime value down to some very, very simple metrics. And he breaks the whole process of acquiring leads down into some very simple terms that even non-sales professionals are able to completely understand and embrace. And we had a really good response with the groups on that. And I think we're already starting to see the benefits of people paying attention to those numbers.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And if you loved that book, then you have to read his newish book, which came out at the back end of last year, it was sort of September, October last year, 100 Million Money Models, which is, in my opinion, is the best of the three books he's written. There's $100 million okay. leads, $100 million offers, and the Money Models one is almost about how to make more money out of the clients you get. So it doesn't solve the problem. Well, he's already solved the problems of how to acquire the clients and how to put the offers together, but the Money Models book just absolutely blew my mind. And I think he or whoever's doing his writing with him has matured enough that they're able to explain very complicated concepts so simply. They're great books. And everything Alex Hormozi does on YouTube and, you know, everything written is absolutely worth looking at. Sean, sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, I had to laugh when I was first introduced to his stuff, and I thought, who's this gym rat that I'm going to listen to?
Exactly that.
Check his background. He actually really does have the business chops to back up what he's saying.
Oh, he does. He does, yeah.
He certainly had the success, but you hit it right on the head. I mean, he does a very good job of taking very complex stuff and really boiling it down to its essence.
Yeah, and we had Nate Friedman on the podcast, I forget when it was, a few months ago, of Tech Pro Marketing and MSP Sites, and he's part of Alex Hormozi's program, and I can't remember how much he spent to be part of it, but it was you know, $1 million. It wasn't quite that much, but it was a huge amount of money. I sat with Nate at ScaleCon, which is where you and I first met last year, and he said he was going to do it again because it puts so much value within his business. So yeah, Alex, there we go. That's the big takeaway from this is Alex Hormozi. I think we talk about him every 3 weeks on the podcast.
That's what we're using.
There we go. Sean, let's wrap this up. So client acquisition cost of up to $32,000, terrifying. You know, lifetime value, you're only going to keep them for 3 to 5 years on average, terrifying. And if you were to look at that and you were a new MSP in the marketplace, you'd almost throw your hands up and say, oh, what's the point? You know, I'm on a loser to get started. So what's your what kind of advice now are you giving to the MSPs that you're working with on either reducing down that client acquisition cost or mitigating the cost by extending the client and making sure that guaranteeing that they stay 7 to 10 years rather than that 3 to 5 years?
Well, two things. Number one, you know, read Alex's books up front. Don't wait for the last thing that you do in your company is to build a sales team like I did. You want to be consistent. You don't have to go out and do grandiose things in your marketing and your sales. You just have to do a few things consistently. You're going to get much better results. You're going to drive down that client acquisition cost and monitor the cost, because what gets monitored, you know, gets managed. So we want to do that. The other thing, my self-serving plug here, go out and get my book, The Pumpkin Plan for Managed Service Providers, and use those lessons to make sure that you maximize the value and profit you get from your MSP clients so that you're not spending a lot of money to get what we like to refer to as a cheap pain in the ass client. And you actually get the client that you're going to make money with and the one that's going to stick with you and is going to be aligned with your core values and value what you do.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So thank you. So that book again, The Pumpkin Plan for MSPs, for managed service providers. And in terms of your peer groups and everything else, if we want to hang out with you in Aruba, maybe do some scuba diving on the side, how do we kind of find out about those peer groups and get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Sean at EncoreStrategic.io, S-H-A-W-N. You can also find me on LinkedIn. I am very active on there and on there regularly. So feel free to reach out to me on social media anytime.
The MSP Marketing Edge. Member update.
You know how we were talking at the very beginning of the show about how you'd be mad to do all of your marketing yourself? Well, if you're a member of the MSP Marketing Edge, a quick reminder that we have a done-for-you team. And every week, more and more of our members ask us to implement their marketing so that they don't have to. We take the three-step system that everything is built around. That's build audiences, grow relationships, and convert relationships. And we implement many of the marketing tasks and much of the content within those three steps. So if you'd like us to do that for you, just visit the Done For You section in the portal. And by the way, if you're not yet a member of the MSP Marketing Edge, it is a great way to get started generating leads for your MSP. But we can only work with one per area, so see if your area is still available at MSPMarketingEdge.com.
Coming up next week.
Thank you so much for listening this week. Now, next week, we're going to talk about how most MSPs think that prospects are price shopping because they're cheap. And actually, they're not. They're price shopping because that's exactly how the MSP has trained them to behave. In next week's show, I'll explain why that happens and how you can stop it. See you then.
For MSPs around the world, the MSP Marketing Podcast with Paul Green.